Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Chulin daf Lamed Aleph. We left off on daf Lamed and Beis. We are at the Gemara right after the Mishnah on daf Lamed and Beis. This is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children and Lila Nishmas, his mother, Gold Basimcha La Shalom, the Nisham Shav and Aliyah. It's also sponsored by Rabbi Wechselbaum and his wife Ellen, as chus for Shalema for Sarah Bas Hinda Yircha, Shishav Vufur Shlema Besoch Shar Chola Yisrael. It is also sponsored by Binyamin Cohn in honor of the yard sites this weekend of his grandparents, Larry and Layla Cohn, who are original members of our shul, and we certainly miss them very much. The neshamos should have an aliyah. So what we're going to discuss today is the following. First, the Gemara is going to discuss the possible sources in the Torah or in the Tanakh for the psul of Dorsa, that of being Doris, of pushing down with the knife on the animal. Then the Gemara is going to tell us the story of a guy, of somebody who shechted a bird with an arrow, and how do you accomplish kisui adam, and how do you know that the shechita was valid if you shot an arrow and it sliced right through the neck of the bird. Then the Gemara is going to discuss how long the shechita knife needs to be, and it's going to talk about the minimum size of a shechita knife, and what if you go in both directions, is there a minimum size? Then the Mishnah on Amud Aleph is going to talk about if a knife falls and just performs a shechita. It falls off of a table and it slices clean, a regular shechita on a behem or an oaf. And the Gemara is going to discuss, in that context, does shechita require kavana? And that's going to lead the Gemara into a broader discussion of, does tevila require kavana? If a nida ends up in a mikvah but had no kavana to be mitar herself, is she tar lebaila? Is she tar ti truma? And the Gemara is going to have a distinction between that which is for the sake of chulin and that which is for the sake of something that is more than chulin, whether one needs kavana or not. And that conversation takes us through the entire Amud Beis. So let's begin. Again, we are at the Gemara right after the Mishnah on Daf Lamid Amud Beis. So says Gemara Minanimili, how do I know that if you chop off the head of the animal all at one shot, that the shechit is going to be possible? So Amar Shmuel, Damar Krok, because the pasuk says, Chet Shachut Lashonam Mir Madiber, that just like an arrow goes in, it goes in a direction one side to the other. So too, when you shecht with a knife, it's got to go one side to the other. You got to go in a forward backward type of motion. Now the pshat of the pasuk is that it's talking about people who speak lashon hara, and it's saying that you say something over here, and the damage is done somewhere very far away. And in that sense, it's a lashon hara is like an arrow. Tanit be Rabbi Shmuel. Tanit be Rabbi Shmuel taught v'shachat ein v'shachat ela umashach, that it's from the word v'shachat itself, that the word v'shachat means that you're moshech, that you pull the knife over the neck of the animal in a halacha v'hava, a kind of motion, not as a stabbing kind of motion. That's what that's what we learn from v'shachat. And even though Tosos points out in Dibra Maskul Tana on the bottom of Tosos, the afal gav di'u gufei darsh be'reish pirkin v'shachat b'makom shesach choteu, that even though we already use the word v'shachat to tell me mimakom shesach, from the place where the voice comes out, where the animal's voice comes out, that's where you cut it. And that's how I learned that the shechit is not done by chopping the ear of the animal or the tail of the animal or the middle of the body of the animal, the torso of the animal, that it's done by the neck of the animal. So we're able to learn a second drasha as well, that not only the part of the animal's body that needs to be cut, but the motion with which one does the cutting, that it's done in a meshicha kind of motion. V'cheinu omer, and the pasuk says in Sefer Melachim Aleph that zohav shachut, that so we see that zohav shachut means that it's mashuch, that it's soft, and you're able to pull strands of the gold. V'omer chet shachut l'shonam mir mediber, and the pasuk says chet shachut l'shonam mir mediber. So maivi omer, why does the Tanna Rabbi Shmuel have to bring another makar to the idea that shechita is a lashon of meshicha? Why is one source not enough? So the Gemara says, yeah, we need a second source, because v'chit tema zov shachut means shenit v'kuchutu. Maybe zov shachut would not be understood as being a meshicha, something that you pull out, but rather it just means that it could be spun like a thread. So tashma chet shachut l'shonam. That's why it says chet shachut l'shonam, to show me that it's a lashon of meshicha, that it's something that goes in a back and forth direction. Now Rashi had said on Daf Chav Zayin Amud Aleph that the source for the psul of Darsa is from the mashmaus of mimakum shesach chateu, that you can't make it a gistera or not chop off its head. And Rashi says even though all of Hilchos Shechita are halachah l'Moshe Mitzrayim, some of them appear in the psukim as well. They're not really all halachah l'Moshe Mitzrayim. So the Rashba writes, and therefore that which the Gemara always mentions, Darsa, together with the rest of Hilchos Shechita that are all halachah l'Moshe Mitzrayim, Chalada and all the other ones, it's agav grara. It only mentions it because we just always throw all of them in together. But in Echinami, we're showing right here that Darsa is based on psukim. It's not based on halachah l'Moshe Mitzrayim. The rest of them are all halachah l'Moshe Mitzrayim. The rest of the Hilchos Shechita are halachah l'Moshe Mitzrayim. The Ramban says no. They're all halachah l'Moshe Mitzrayim. This is an asmachta bialma, whatever we're deriving from psukim over here. As far as Darsa being a din that could be derived from psukim, that's only an asmachta. Rava Ava Badikle Gira L'Rabbi Yonah Bar Techlifa V'Shachet Pa'of Abadi D'Parach. Rava checked the arrow of Rabbi Yonah Bar Techlifa to make sure that it didn't have any pegimos in it, and Rabbi Yonah Bar Techlifa shot the arrow and it shechted a bird as it was flying in the sky. It went sliced right through the animal's neck, as the bird's neck, as it was flying in the sky. So says Gemara, how does that work? V'dilma avid chalada. Maybe it pierced through the animal's neck under the skin of the animal, of the bird's neck. It didn't slice through. It went, instead of cutting on the outside, maybe it wedged its way in and cut through the simanim in that way. So how can you be sure that that it did a proper shechita? And yeah, but maybe not. Maybe meaning so what? If it's a suffix, maybe you could be mekel. So no, the halacha is, the Rashba points out, whenever there's a suffix chalada in the shechita, it's going to be aser unless you know bebirur that it was shechted properly, because we already learned earlier that behema b'chaya b'cheska sisra medes at sheyodeh lach b'men nishchata, that a behema while it's alive is b'cheska sisra. So to change that chazaka, you need to know. You need to know what happened. So it has to be that that we know that it was okay. So the Gemara is asking, well, we don't know. Maybe it was a chalada. So says Gemara, chazina gidfi demifarmi. We saw that the feathers flew all over the place, and it was the feathers from the neck. So we could see that it clearly cut from the front of the neck. So v'habayi kisui. Okay, great. But an oath requires kisui adam. How were they able to do kisui adam if he just shot a bird out of the sky? The blood went everywhere, probably. Maybe you say that they tracked down all of the blood and they covered all of the blood, so they fulfilled the mitzvah of kisui adam. Now it doesn't work, because Vamar Rabbi Zeira Amarav Hashokhe Tzorch Shitein Afar Lamata V'Afar Lamayla. That when you shecht, you not only need to put afar above the blood, you also need to have a bed of afar underneath the blood. And that's how you do kisui adam. You sandwich the blood with afar. So where's the afar lamata? Shenemar v'chiso be'afar. Afar lo nemar el be'afar. It doesn't say afar, it says be'afar. So since it says be'afar, it sounds like it has to be like hidden inside of afar, like sandwiched in afar. That's the way Rashi learns the limit of be'afar. Meseches Beitza, Rashi writes, mechaseu ba'afar, that you have to cover it lemaila after it's already balul ba'afar, after it's already hidden ba'afar, that mechaseu after it's already ba'afar. That's how I learned that it's kisui. So again, two ways Rashi learns. One way is that the word be'afar means that it's inside of afar, which means covered on both sides. The other way is v'chisou, you're covering it when it's already be'afar. Tosas Chachmei Anglia says, no, it's a nutrikin, be'z afar, that be'afar tells me that there are two layers of afar. Okay, however we're learning it, there's got to be afar lamata. So we're back to the question, how could Rabbi Yonah have shechted by shooting an arrow at it? He doesn't know where the blood's going to land, so how could he possibly put afar underneath it? So says Gemara, he chopped up the dirt in an entire bika, in an entire field, wherever that bird was flying. The bird has been roaming or flying around this area the whole day. He hasn't been landing. They wanted to eat this bird all day, but he hasn't been landing for them to catch it. But they knew where he was flying, so they chopped up the dirt all beneath the whole area. So that's the Kisei Lamata, and then they Rabbi Yonah shot it out of the sky, and that's covered wherever the dam landed, and that's the Kisei Lamaila. So that's how. So Rashi writes that's what they did. So the Rashi then gives another interpretation, not that that he went and chopped up, because you can't have hard ground. Kisei Dam must be done with soft dirt. So not that he went and he chopped up hard ground and turned it into soft dirt, but rather it was soft dirt, and he declared that this dirt should be dirt, l'shem kisui, that it was on the beach, whatever, it was soft sand, the whole place was soft dirt. So he just said that he was mazminit l'shem kisui. So the Shach writes, wow, apparently you need to be mazminit. The Rashba doesn't understand. Mechitesi, you need zimun pepeh for kisui adam. You need to say, and this dirt is going to be the dirt of kisui. You do the mitzvah, kisui adam. What do you mean, zimun? What's Rashi talking about? They mazmin for kisui adam? So the Shach writes in Yerodeh and Simun Chavches that you need a maisa nesina in the afra tachton as well, because the mitzvah is vichisahu. You need to do a maisa mitzvah. So there needs to be a maisa nesina on the afra lamata as well. So apparently the chiddush of the first day in Rashi says he did a maisa, he chopped up the whole ground. The second day in Rashi is that the chiddush is that a zimun b'peh counts as a maisa, that's good enough to be considered the maisa mitzvah of the kisui lamata. So that's how they shachted the bird using an arrow when they shot the bird out of the sky. Then the Mishnah said, "Hayishochit vihitis." If you chopped off the animal's neck all at one shot, so the knife needs to be malot savar, and then it's going to be kosher, even though with one slice in one direction you knocked it off clean. So Amar Reb Zera malot savar chutz latzavar. When we say that it needs to be a malot savar, it means an extra malot savar, that the length of the knife has to be not only the full width. If let's say the width of the animal neck is 4 inches, so the length of the knife not only has to be 4 inches, it needs to be 8 inches. It needs to be twice the width of the animal's neck. So yibayiluhu. So they raise the shaila. Melot tzavar v'chutz l'tzavar kimelot tzavar tavelei trei tzavari. Meaning, is the way I just presented it correct, that you need double the width of the animal's neck should be the length of the knife? Odilma melot tzavar v'chutz l'tzavar mashuhu. Or maybe it's got to be the length of the animal's neck plus a little bit, plus a mashu longer. So if the animal's neck is 4 inches wide, so it's got to be 4.5 inches long. The knife needs to be just a drop more than 4 inches. So Tashma says, well, I'll prove to you that it means an extra melot savar beyond the width of the animal's neck. Because it says in the Mishnah, Hayashochet vihitis shnei rashin bebas achas, that if you're shechting two animals at the same time, im yesh betzakin melot savar echod, kosher. If the knife has a melot savar echod, that's going to be kosher. Does it really mean the knife is just the length of the width of one animal's neck? Well, it doesn't make sense that when you're shechting one animal, you need it to be longer than a melot tzavar, that if you're shechting two animals lined up one right next to another, you're going to need less than that. Only a melot tzavar? Nah, elapshita. So obviously the way to interpret it is melot tzavar chutz l'shnei tzavarin, that the melot tzavar we're talking about is the excess beyond the width of the two animals next together. So if you have two animals, one lined up next to the other, each of their necks is 4 inches, so the knife needs to be 12 inches. 4 plus 4, because the width of the animal's necks, plus an extra melot tzavar. And that gives you the wiggle room to be able to slice to be able to do the shechita in a slicing motion rather than in a pressing motion. Shemamina melot tzavar chutz l'tzavar. That's how I know that when you're shechting one animal as well, it needs to be melot tzavar, not just a mashahu chutz l'tzavar. You need a lot of wiggle room in order to be able to do a proper shechita, shema mina, and that in fact is a good raya. So the Mishnah said, yeah, you only need such a long knife if you're only going to slice in in one direction. But if you can go back and forth and back and forth, so then even a kol shu could be very tiny, because you could still get it sliced without pressing down. So Amar Rav Menashe, be Ismal Shein Lo Karnayim. This is only going to be kosher when we said you could do, even the Mishnah had said that you could shecht even with an Ismal, so that means that there are no protrusions on that Ismal, because if there are, an Ismal is a very small blade, but if there are protrusions, even just on the ends of the blade, we're afraid that one of those protrusions is going to catch in the simanim of the animal, and it's going to rip through the simen rather than slice through in a neat kind of way. Can you do a shechita with a needle? It has just a teeny tiny point at the end of it. So are you going to say that mamish amashu, something that's sharp, that's just mamish amashu, you can do shechita? No, the way a needle works is it stabs. It doesn't slice. You need something that slices. So it could be a very tiny blade, but it's got to be a blade. It can't just be a needle. So machta du ushkefi mai. What about a shoemaker's needle, which has sharp sides to it? So can you shecht with the length of the sides of the needle? So amalei tanina. He said, well, that's the Mishnah. Afilu kol shu, that it could be a very tiny blade, and it's going to work. So my love machta du ushkefi. Doesn't that mean a machta du ushkefi? So you see that's included in the Mishnah. Says, well, no, that's not what the Mishnah means. Lo ismal. The Mishnah is only talking about an ismal. That's what it means when it says that a kol shu is good enough. It's not talking about a machta du ushkefi. Says, well, how could you say so about an ismal? Ismal behedi katanila. The very next words in the Mishnah are that an ismal works. So how can you say that when it says kol shu is so about an ismal, that would be very repetitive of the Mishnah? So says, well, yeah, the Mishnah is explaining itself. My kol shu, what do I mean when I say kol shu? Ismal. It means an ismal, not a machta du ushkefi. The machta du ushkefi would not be good enough. Hachinam mstavr, and it's most mstavr that the Mishnah is just explaining itself. Dis al kadaitach machta du ushkefi. Because if you're going to say that it's telling us that even a machta du ushkefi is good enough, so then why would the Mishnah have to tell me that an ismal is good enough? An ismal has a more serious blade, a longer blade. So obviously, if a machta du ushkefi, which has a shei machat, it's called a needle, it's not even called a knife, if that's going to be good enough, then obviously an ismal is going to be good enough. So it says, well, no, it's a chiddush to say ismal. Ismal tzrichalei. Salka dain kaminu ligzar ismal shein lo karnayim. I might have thought that we have to be gozer, don't use any ismal at all, because some of them have protrusions on them, and the ones that have protrusions are no good. So I might have thought that it's like a low plug, don't use any ismal. So kamash blan, that's why the Mishnah has to tell me that even though machta du ushkefi is good enough, and therefore you would think an ismal kal v'chomer is good enough, no, there's reason to assume that all ismals are disqualified because some of them have protrusions. Kamash blan, that the ismal is good enough. Okay, new Mishnah now, and this is the main topic of the daf. Is about a shechita shelo b'kavana. So nafla sakin. If let's say a knife falls on its own without koach ha'adam, no, the person didn't do anything; just fell right off of the table. So v'shachta, and it did a shechita. So afli shachta kedarka, even though it performed a proper shechita, it cut through the shnei simanim, rov of shnei simanim. It really did a good job. So psul, it's still going to be possible shnemer, because the pasuk says in chumish v'zavachta, and then. When you do the shechita, you can eat it. But if no one did the shechita, it just happened on its own without a koach adam, then it's not matir the basar ba'achila. Then you cannot get to the end of the pasuk of viachalta. So the Gemara makes a diuk. Time of denafla sounds like the only reason it's possible is because the knife fell on its own and there was no koach kavra at all. Hahi pilohu kshera. But it sounds like if the person knocked the knife off of the table, then it's going to be kosher. Afagavdol mechavin. Even though he never intended to do a shechita with that. There was a knife on the table. He wanted to clear the table, so he just, you know, swiped the knife off of the table and it landed and it did a shechita on it. So that's a koach kavra. Sounds like even without kavana, all you need is koach kavra. So man tana delobina kavana l'shechita. Who is the tana that does not require kavana in order to have a a valid shechita. As long as there's koach gavra, you don't need kavana. So Rava Rabbi Nasan he. This is the shita of Rabbi Nasan. Tani Oshaya Ze'ero de Min Chavraya. There are two ways of punctuating the name of this person. It's either Oshaya Ze'ero de Min Chavraya, the man named Oshaya Ze'ero, who's from a place called Chavraya, or from the who's among the Bnei HaYeshiva, or it could be Tani Oshaya Ze'ero de Min Chavraya. Oshaya, the smallest of the Talidim, the smallest of the Chavra. Okay, however you say it, there are different Deos in the Rishonim. Zorak Sakim, the Naatza B'Kosel. So he taught that if you throw a knife in order to, you're playing darts, except you're doing it with knives. So you're throwing a knife in order to have it stick into the wall, like axe throwing, right? That's an activity for dates. So you throw a knife and it sticks into the wall. And while you're throwing it, it shechts an animal, shechts a bird. So Rabbi Nassim says that it's a valid shechita, even though you had no intention whatsoever. You're just trying to hit your target. And the Chum say that it's possible. Because according to the Chum, apparently you need kavana l'shchita. So that's the nekudas ha'machlokes. There's definitely koach gavra. You did the zrika, so that you have. But you also need kavana. So the Rabbi Nassim says you don't need kavana. It's perfectly fine. And the Chum say that it's possible. So it seems that our mission is going like Rabbi Nassim. And hu tanila, v'hu amarla. And he explained that halacha Rabbi Nassim, the same Oshaya Ze'era demin chavraya, said that not only by pointing out to you that Rabbi Nassim is the author of our Mishnah, but we paskin like Rabbi Nassim that you don't need kavana to make a valid shechita. So says Rava Chadazimna. Didn't Rava already tell us once that a stam Mishnah is like Rabbi Nassim that a shechita does not need kavana? Ditnan, because the very first Mishnah in the Masechta, when we said anybody could do a shechita and the shechita is going to be kosher except for a chayr shota v'katan because they might mess up the shechita. But then we said v'kulan even a chayr shota v'katan shesh. If they do a shechita and someone is supervising to see that it was done properly, the shechita is going to be kosher. Ve'amrinan, and the Gemara said back on Daf Yud Beis that the chayr shot of a katan have no das in order to be able to have kavana l'shem shechita. So they're just stam cutting something. They have no idea that it's a shechita. So man tana d'lo boy kavana l'shechita. Who is the tana of the Mishnah that says that it's a valid shechita because someone else sees that it's being done properly? Even though there's no kavana whatsoever, because the chereshot of katan is not capable of kavana, Rabbi Nassani. And Rabbi says, yeah, that's Rabbi Nassan who says that you don't need kavana for shechita. So just like Rabbi Nassan says, when you throw the knife against the wall, it's a valid shechita. So since Rabbi already told me that we have a stam mishnah like Rabbi Nassan, why do we have to be medayik that our stam mishnah is also like Rabbi Nassan? Our stam mishnah says that if a knife falls off a table and does a shechita, it's no good. And the implication is, if you knock it off the table and it does a shechita, it is good. Oh, so you see, without kavana, it is good that that's going like Rabbi Nassan. We get it. Stam Mishnayis and this Masechta like Rabbi Nassim. So it says Mar Tzricha. Now Rav has to tell me in both places that the Mishnah is going like Rabbi Nassim. Diashmin and Hasam, if it only would have told me about the case of a Chereshot V'Katan, that Rabbi Nassim holds the Shechita is going to be kosher, I would have thought Mishum to Kamechavit Nishum Chaticha Biolam, because at least the Chereshot V'Katan is intending to slice something. So he may not have Kavana for Torah Shechita and for the Dinim of Shechita, and that this, you know, we may not have the intellectual capacity to realize that what I'm doing right now is going to mean that I'm going to eat dinner tonight because I'm going to be able to do a malicha and then cook it and eat it or prepare. But he does realize I am slicing something right now. So that much kavana he has. Aval hachab over here, the guy's just knocking a knife off of the table. He's not intending to cut anything or to slice anything. So the loka mechavin where there's no kavana whatsoever, not even for chituch emalo, maybe. Even Rabbi Nassim would not allow such a shechita. Meaning, maybe there are three levels. There's having kavana l'shem shechita, and then on the opposite extreme, there's having zero kavana for anything at all. You don't plan on it cutting anything or anything. You're just trying to remove it. And then in between, you have this idea of kavana to do a cutting, but not a shechita. So maybe Rabbi Nassim only is machshir when you have that middle level. But if you're all the way with no kavana at all, maybe Rabbi Nassim would not have been machshir. So that's what we have to point out. That in in our Mishnah he's machshir as well. V'yashmin in hacha, and if you only would have told me that he's machshir when you knock the knife off of the table, mishum dekasim koch ben das. At least the ben das is the one who knocked the knife off of the table. At least it was an adult who had das. Aval hasam lo kasim koch ben das. But in the case of cheder shet v'katan, the action wasn't even done by a ben das. Same alone, maybe the shechita is not kasher tzricha. That's why the Mishnah has to tell me that as long as the shechita was done koch gavra, according to Rabbi Nassim, it's going to be kshera, whether it's done by a ben das or whether it's done by someone who is not a ben das. So Rabbi Nassim's opinion is through and through. You simply don't need kavana l'shchita. As long as you have koach gavra, that is good enough. So once we're discussing kavana on shchita, the Gemara now discusses kavana with regard to another matir or mitzvah, and that is tevila of anida. Now, typically, when a woman becomes anida, it means two things in her life. It means that she's not allowed to be with her husband. She's arayos like any of the other arayos, even labayla. And it also means that she has a din of tuma, that she can transmit tuma, and she cannot eat truma or kachum or anything like that. So itmar nida she ne'en sovetavla. Let's say a woman it was time for her to go to the mikveh, but she didn't intend to go to the mikveh. She ended up in a mikveh without any intention, without any mindfulness. Somehow she landed in a mikveh. So Amar Rav Rav, tahora lebesa. That's good enough for her to be allowed to be with her husband, but vasur lechel betruma. But she's not allowed to eat truma. Such a tevila is not going to be valid for eating truma. Tosus points out, not only truma, Tosus vasur lechel betruma, afilu lemaiser asur, kedamrin besamuch, el nakat truma denohagis bezmach. That she'd be asura for Maiser Sheni as well. It's just that we don't eat Maiser Sheni Bizman Hazeh, but we are knowing Truma Bizman Hazeh, so therefore because the reason there's no Maiser Sheni when there's no Beis HaMikdash, because there's no Kedush Yerushalayim Yishacharav HaBayis. So you don't have that, that's what the Rav Ranshbrook points out. So if you don't have full Kedush Yerushalayim, you're not going to have the din of Maiser Sheni, but the din of Truma you still have in all of Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Afla Beis Lo Tahara, and Rabbi Yochanan disagrees with Rabbi Yudomirav, and he says she can't even be with her husband if she just landed in a mikveh without mindfully going to the mikveh. So Amalei Rav of Nachman, the Rav the Amar Torah Lebesa v'asru lechel betruma, according to Rav, that it's good enough to let her be with her husband, but not good enough to allow her to eat truma. How does that make sense? Avon kares hutra isr misa mibayi? If this tevila was good enough to allow her to be with her husband, which is nisr kares, nida lebayla is nisr kares. So we're willing to be matir nisr kares based on this tevila. So misa b'dei shemayim, which is eating truma betuma, is not as severe as kares. It's only misa b'dei shemayim. So shouldn't this tevila all the more so work for that which is only misa b'dei shemayim? So amalei bay lechulin hu v'chulin lo bay kavana. Now the difference is her husband is chulin, and for chulin you don't need kavana, but for truma you're going to need kavana. Now the assumption, the presumption that the Gemara makes that misa b'dei Shemaim is less severe than kares. What's the pshat that it's less severe than kares? What makes Misa B'dei Shemaim less? Either way, Bezin's not doing anything to you, God is in charge, and either way you end up dead, right? So what's the difference between Misa B'dei Shemaim and kares? So Rashi writes, Misa B'dei Shemaim, the person himself gets punished, but it's not his children. Kares means that Aririm Yiyu, that he's going to be childless, which means that all his kids are going to die too, and there aren't going to be any future children. Rashi on Chumash says that someone who's chayiv kares and yesh lo banim, habanim mesim, and ain lo banim, then he's mes below banim. So it impacts the whole family. It's not just him. The Riva is quoted, however, in Tosfos and Shabbos and Daf Chafhei and Yevamos Daf Beis that it's not true of all Isurei Kares, that it's only by Arayos that it's Nichra Zaro as well, because it makes sense that in the area, if that's where his Avera was, in an area that relates to the act of procreation, so then his children are going to be impacted as well. But outside of the area of Arayos, then Kares does not impact his children. So then you're back to the question, what's the difference between kares in general versus Misa B'dei Shemayim? What makes kares more severe? So Tosfos writes that kares is that the person dies before they hit the age of 50. Misa B'dei Shemayim is that they die before they hit the age of 60, which is aligned with the Yerushalmi. The Bavli doesn't sound like that. Alternatively, It could be that Misa B'dei Shemayim is after 60 person dies, but just a little bit younger than he was supposed to die. But Kares is that he's not going to make it to 60. Okay, something like that, about the age of exactly when the person dies. So, be that as may. So where we are in the Gemara is the Gemara just said, you know why a tevila below kavana works lebaila but doesn't work for truma? Because baila is chulin, and a tevila below kavana will work for chulin. It's not going to work for that which has kedusha to it, umina teimra. And how do you know that the tevila for chulin does not require kavana? Detanan, because we have a mishnah, Maseches Mikvaos, gal shenitlash ubo arboim sa'. If you have a wave that is coming up and it's 40 sa'of water in that wave, v'nafal ala adam b'ala kelim, and that wave splashes onto a person and onto to kelim tahorin, they all become tar with that tevila. My love, adam dumyu de kelim, ma kelim dol mechav niaf adam na. Isn't that telling me that even if it lands on a person where the person has zero kavana whatsoever for a tevila, it's still going to be valid? Because after all, the Mishnah says Kalim and Adam in the same breath. And one thing I know about a Kli is that it's not having any kavana. So the Adam is Dumya de Kalim. He's also not having any kavana. He's not having any kavana. So it says more Mimai. Maybe that Diuk is incorrect. Maybe we're Dafka talking about a person who sees the wave coming and says, ooh, I need a tara, I need a mikvah, so let me take advantage. And he's waiting for that wave, and he does have kavana latara. But it says kelim v'kelim dumya to adam. Yeah, and the point is that the kelim is similar to adam, that you put those kelim there, but kavana of the bailim of those kelim, that they should achieve a tara. Ma adam kavana of kelim nami dekom chavilu adam. That just like the adam does require kavana, maybe the kelim requires that the bailim is having kavana that they should become tara. So it says more v'chi teva b'yoshiv mitzapa ma'ilameimra. Maybe you'll ask, well, wait, if you're going to make an akimta, that the case is yoshiv mitzapa, that he's intending to use that gal to be metar himself, well, then why do I need a mishnah to tell me that that works? Of course it works. Why wouldn't it work? Why wouldn't the ocean be able to be metar you? A giant wave from the ocean, of course it should be metar you. So ma'ilameim l'gzor mishum chardola shel gishamim. I might have thought that we should make a gzera, that maybe it shouldn't work, because atu a case of a flood of rainwater that comes down a slope, where the halacha is that it is not that all the water is not considered one unit and able to be mitar you. So I might have thought that we should be gozer not to be tovel yourself in a wave, so that you don't come to be matbil yourself in a chardola shel geshamim. So the Mishnah tells me, no, we don't make such a gezeira, but you do need to have kavana for the wave to work. Meaning maybe the Mishnah taka means you need to have kavana for the wave to work. The chiddush that it works is that there's no gzeira drabanan, that it's like a chadol shel geshamim. See, inami, or I might have thought, ligza rushin atu kipin. I might have thought that we should make a gzeira that you cannot be tovel in the wave when the wave hits you, because you might go like a surfer inside of the wave, and you'll be, will be a kippa over you, but you'll be in the airspace inside of the wave, and you'll think that that works as well. So kamash malan delog hazrina. So therefore we're told, the Mishnah is telling us simply that we're not goes there, but you taka do need kavana that it should work. You're making an assumption by saying that I would have thought that there's gzeira atu kipin. That implies that the kipin does not work, that it's not a valid tevila. Who says you can't be tovel and kipin? Titanan, because the Mishnah tells us matbilin. Matbilin Barashin, that we're some have a gears of Ditanya. The Tosos, however, has Ditanan, and the Tosos says, well, it's Ditanan, but there's no Mishnah anywhere that says it. Okay, so but some Tanakh statement, Matbilin Barashin, Vein Matbilin Bekipin, Shein Matbilin Bavir, because it says Beferish, that you cannot be matbil yourself in the airspace of a wave, because you can't be Tovel and Avir. So you go surfing one day, and you didn't land in the, whatever they call that, when you land in the water, so you were successful, so then you're not tar, it doesn't work. So so I would have thought that maybe we should be goes there, being hit by the wave, onto a case of keeping. So kamash milan, the Mishnah is telling me that we don't make any such gezeva. El chulim delo bayi kavana miha minalan. Okay, so let's go back. How do I know that you don't need kavana for a tahara to work for the sake of chulin? I mean, we said, the need falls into the mikvah. The Nida landed in the mikvah with no kavanah whatsoever. So for Baila, she's fine, because her husband is only chulin. Where do we see such a thing? Titnan, the Mishnah says in Maseches Machshirin, Peiro shenofu l'toch amas hamayim, if fruit had fallen into an amas hamayim, upashat mishayad of tameos, and someone whose hands were tamei stretched out his hands, unetalan, and he took those peros out, but his hands got wet, yad of taros, his hands now became tar, uperos ein b'chiyutan, but the peros are not hukshul kabal tumah, because you never, even though they got wet, but that was never mindful, you never approved of them getting wet, and you need kiyutan dumya d'chiyitain, you need it to be that, in order for it to be makshul kabal tumah, it needs to be that you want it to become wet, v'imbishvil sheyudchu, but if you stuck your hands in there, not just to retrieve the peros, but to rinse off your hands as well, then yad of taros, then your hands are going to be tar, uperos b'chiyutan, and the peros are going to be b'chiyutan, because you wanted that water, so you're megaladas, that you were happy that those peros fell there, because it gave you the opportunity to wash your hands, and once you wanted that water, now the peros are going to be hukshal lekabal tumah. All of the achronim ask the obvious kasha. If there's water there, you don't need peros to fall in order to be able to wash your hands. Why is that considered that you wanted the water to hit the peros so that you'll have the opportunity to wash your hands? You don't need the peros to fall in. You don't need an apple to fall into the water in order for you to stick your hands in the water. So why does that make it that makes it b'chiyutan? So Sfasemes and the other achronim explain that a little not like Rashi, that since you were happy with the mayim hitting your hands, that's enough for the mayim to makshir the peros, even though you never intended for you wanted the mayim to be there, that's good enough. Even though you never actually wanted the mayim to hit the peros, just wanting the mayim to be there is enough to be makshir the peros, to be makabel tumah. But from this mishnah, you see that the tevil is mitar for chulin even without kavana, because in the ratio we talk about the guy just stuck his hands into the water just to retrieve the peros, no intention for tara whatsoever, and yet his hands become tar. Says Rav Nachman, Rav challenges tava l'chulin v'huchsak l'chulin asu l'maiser. If a person went to the mikvah al das tid chulin b'tahara and it was huchsak, he had huchsak means he had kavana for the sake of chulin, so he's not allowed to eat maiser sheni. He's going to have to be tovel the second time for the sake of maiser sheni. Huchsak in lo huchsak lo, but even tid chulin, it sounds like he had to have kavana to be mitahara himself for chulin. Huchsak means kavana. Without kavana, it's not going to work. So don't you see that even chulin requires kavana? Now hachikamar afal pishu huchsak l'chulin. Even though he was huchsak for the sake of chulin, he had kavana for the sake of chulin, he's still not allowed to eat meiser, meaning that he doesn't need kavana l'chulin. For chulin, he could have eaten it even with no kavana. The chiddush is that even though he had kavana l'tara, but he only had kavana to be matar himself to eat chulin, that's not good enough to allow him to eat meiser. So Esve, the Rav challenges Rav Nachman from the Mishnah, from the Hemshech of that Mishnah, taval v'lo huchsak ki ilu lo taval, that if he was taval without any kavana, it's as if he never went to the mikvah. My love, ki lo tovel klal, doesn't it mean that without kavana it's as if he did nothing? So you see that tevila for chulin requires kavana, that it's if he didn't have kavana, it didn't work at all. So lo, ki lo tovel lemaiser, avel tovel lechulin. No, it means it's as if he wasn't tovel lemaiser, but he was tovel lechulin even without kavana. So who sabra dechuy kamarchile? So originally Rav Nachman thought, yeah, it's a dich would be Alma, but really the Mishnah does sound a lot more not like Rav Nachman. So Nafak Dak V'Yashkach, but then he found a brisa that explains that Mishnah, and it's beferish like Rav Nachman. D'tanya Tavol V'lo Huchsak, if you went to the mikvah without kavana at all to be tahor, Mutar L'chulin V'asa L'maiser. It's beferish that you're allowed to have chulin, that you don't need any kavana. Tzibimatu you for chulin. So Amle Abay L'Rav Yosef Lemit Havit Yufta D'Rav Yochanan Meha. Maybe we should say that this brisa that chulin does not require kavana is a kashan Rav Yochanan, who holds that you do need kavana for a tevilas nida. Rav Yochanan damak Rav Yonasan ben Yosef. Rav Yochanan assumes like a different shita in Tanaim. Rav Yonasan ben Yosef, who thinks that chulin does need kavana, detanya, because the Bryce says Rav Yonasan ben Yosef omer v'chubas mat hamulomar shenis. Why does it say v'chubas shenis v'taher? It's obviously a second kibbutz we're talking about in the dinim of negaim. So makish tichpos shniya l'tichpos rishona. We link the second kibbutz that you do on the beggar that has to rest to the first kibbutz. Ma tichpos rishona l'da'as, just like the first one is with the das of the kohen, that it doesn't just get washed on its own, because it says v'tziva hakohen v'chipso, that it's clearly with the das of the kohen. After chpos hashniyah the das, it requires das adam, but if it happens on its own, it will not become tahar. Ima lahalon be'inan das kohen. Ooh, well, if I'm going to learn from there, so over there you don't just need das of anybody, you need das kohen. So afkan, so by the kibushani being a das kohen, maybe you should also need das kohen, not just das in general. Tamlum of taher mikol makom. Vetaher is an inclusive term. Tells me mikol makom. So the Gemara explains the shita of Rabbi Yochanan with shchita shelo bekavana maskel of Rashi mibarashi umiyam Rabbi Yochanan hachi. Does Rabbi Yochanan really hold that chulin does not require kavana? From Rabbi Yochanan like stam mishnah. Rabbi Yochanan says we pass like a stam mishnah. Utana the stam mishnah said nafla sakin v'shachta afli shachta gedarka psula. We said that if a knife falls off of a table and does a shchita, it's pasul. Va'avina b'taima dinafla hayipilu hu. But if you knock it off the table, it's kosher. Even though you had no kavana, that it's only Rabbi Nassim who holds that you don't need kavana l'shchita. So the Mishnah assumes, like Rabbi Nassim, the chulin does not require kavana. The chulin does not require kavana. So how could Rabbi Yochanan paskin like Rabbi Yonasan Yosef that tevila for chulin yes requires kavana? So it says where b'shchita afilu Rabbi Yonasan ben Yosef that midgali rachmana misasik bekachim pasul mechal. When it comes to shchita, even Rabbi Yonasan ben Yosef is going to be moda that by chulin it doesn't require kavana dafka for shchita, and that he doesn't require. He only requires kavana when it comes to tevila, because from the fact that it says misasik bekachim is pasul, that implies that if it were chulin, that there would be some level of kavana. And the Rabban would say you don't need kavana for zvicha, but you at least need to have kavana that you are slicing, something. Okay, we're right in the middle of something, but we'll pick up from there tomorrow. Everyone have a great day.